Today I'm talking to Frane and we're discussing imposter syndrome. So if you want to know what imposter syndrome is and how to help yourself as a PhD researcher, do listen on. Frane, perhaps you could start us off by giving me a definition of what imposter syndrome is.
Imposter syndrome is usually characterized by that kind of chronic feeling of self-doubt or fear of being discovered as intellectual fraud. And despite basically that kind of evidence of your abilities, many people who are actually suffering from imposter syndromes are really unable to internalize that kind of sense of accomplishment or that kind of ability that admit to themselves that they are competent or really skillful. And overall, people tend to believe for themselves to be less intelligent or less competent than others perceive them to actually be. So yes, what is not imposter syndrome is when people experience this kind of phenomenon of being an imposter and the thoughts and feelings elicited by this kind of experiences. Although it has been termed as a syndrome, that kind of syndrome is more like a phenomenon of the mind, is more accurate from that kind of medical point of view. So imposter syndrome would not be that kind of syndrome in medical speaking. So it's important to basically not to diminish the impact of that kind of experience of this kind of imposter phenomenon. Because yes, it's really important to understand that imposter syndrome and experience can be quite debilitating. It can be quite scary. It can create more anxiety, more low mood, more distress to people who actually experience it. So yes, how can we define the experience of imposter syndrome? So we have this kind of aspect of repetitive negative self-talk, or for example, I'm rubbish, I can't do this, I don't deserve to be here, struggles with acceptance of any kind of praise or recognition from the side of supervisor or any peers or any other departmental leaders, experience of overwhelming anxiety of being found out or exposed that basically you are not able or capable of dealing with this PhD or any other research project that you are doing, and general feeling of never being good enough. So you can actually produce amazing research, amazing results, but still you feel for yourself that this is still not good enough. And also obsessing when you make any kind of mistakes or failure, that's also very good consequence of the imposter syndrome. And again, the impact of these feelings and also the imposter syndrome can lead towards the aspect of you judging yourself to the highest possible standards, even the standards that are not really realistic. You can internalize all your flaws, mistakes, and criticism. That can also lead to the aspect of you wanting to be more perfectionist and also dismiss all praise as it's not really realistic or it's not really perceived as true. Also feeling that kind of aspect of fraud can also manifest in itself into you tend to overwork yourself, you tend to self-sabotage yourself, you're holding yourself back, and you also tend to procrastinate a lot.
In terms of the students that mm-hmm. that you've worked with, what common examples have you seen in students that you would say is imposter phenomena?
Well, usually people tend to composite with the aspect of, I don't think I'm capable for that. So instead of working 9 to 5, I'm going to work 7 to 7 and try to overwork themselves to the point actually that they're burning themselves out. Also the aspect of procrastination, people tend to actually run away from any kind of task that they feel they are scared of. Instead of facing the fear, they're basically going to just bury their hand in the sand and think, okay, I'll wait here until the problem passes away. But reality is, problem never passes away. Perfectionism as well is the biggest impact, or basically one of the main issues that people are reporting, that basically they want to create a kind of perfect PhD project, perfect PhD thesis. But in reality, good is better than perfect, or good is better than that kind of aspect of pursuing that kind of perfection, which in reality is not really existing. Also, people who think that they can create something perfect, it's just not realistic because everything has flaw. It's a human to make that kind of mistakes and errors. So nothing is perfect in all that kind of aspect. Also, the kind of repetitive negative self-talk or pep talk is also a typical imposter syndrome that people tend to display by telling themselves that basically they're not good enough, you don't deserve this PhD, I don't deserve this project, or I don't deserve this money, or I don't deserve this budget, or things like that. And also, I think it's important to emphasize that most of people will obsess about mistakes. If they make mistakes, they'll really be harsh towards themselves, more so than their supervisors or any other people that are working, if they're working as a part of the lab team or anything like that. So yes, this will definitely lead to that kind of aspect of self-sabotage here, by basically saying, well, I made this mistake, therefore I am horrible, I don't deserve this. But yes, I think most students are forgetting that they're going through that kind of interview process where they have quite a lot of people there who are sitting in the panel who are really scrutinizing their work. And if they got that PhD project, that means that definitely they met all that quality standards that the department is looking out, and basically that they are good enough to do that particular project. But sometimes students just tend to forget that kind of information, that kind of interview process and interview panel deem them more than qualified or more than suitable. Similarly, I think students are also fearing of the upgrade as well. Many students think that, okay, I passed the interview, but maybe they somehow managed to muddle my way through the interview and got the PhD, but then there's that kind of fear, oh no, I'm going to be exposed during the upgrade process about really how incompetent I am to do this PhD project. That's again another fear that people are having, but the whole upgrade experience is designed not to basically crash you down, and instead is designed to actually help you to produce that kind of PhD project which will excel you as PhD student and future academic as well.
So recognizing that these points in or milestones within the PhD for people suffering with imposter phenomena, see them as points where they'll be found out, but actually what they are points where we can confirm that we are good enough. So just almost to flip that, as opposed to being a negative experience, it could be an opportunity to reinforce the it becomes proof. Yeah. There we are. You are good enough to be here. And another panel has said that you are.
Yes. That's something which basically is a consequence of our negative thinking traps. Is basically we have quite a lot of negative thinking style that I'm probably going to tell you a little bit more next time. But yes, it's basically our own thinking or negative automatic thoughts is what is producing this kind of imposter syndrome. Our belief that we're not good enough, that we're not capable to do this, or that we're not capable to enjoy the life or anything, even privately. Oh, I'm not a good person. Oh, I'm not a good friend. I'm not a good partner, blah, blah, blah. So yes, the best way to approach those kind of negative automatic thoughts is to challenge those kind of thinking, to challenge that kind of imposter syndrome. And what I mean here by challenge is, again, I'm going to use analogy, I'm loving analogy today. It's to put your thoughts to trial. You can act as judge, you can act as defense, you can also act as a prosecutor and also as a jury as well. So what you can do is put your negative thoughts, oh, I'm incapable to complete this PhD, and tell yourself what evidence I have for that particular negative thought, what evidence I have against that negative thought. And then you put on scale evidence for and evidence against that particular thought. And again, you will take the role of jury where you deliver that kind of verdict about whether that kind of negative thought is valid or invalid or biased. if it's biased, in that case, you need to balance it. You need to basically create a kind of alternative thought. So if I came to the conclusion about, for the negative thought that I had about, I'm incapable of doing my PhD, and if I have more evidence against that thought by saying, I've done my master course amazingly, I've done my undergraduate amazingly, I've done my research assistant position amazingly, I got all the praises, that means basically that I have more positive things against that negative thought than for that thought. Therefore, that means that I need to balance that thought or create a little bit more balanced thinking, i.e. that this not that negative, move it a little bit more towards positive spectrum. And that could potentially be, so I may actually think that I could do this PhD instead of thinking, I'm not going to be able to do this PhD at all.
So I always think about it also in terms of when we're kind of weighing things up on the scales, and then perhaps there is one piece of evidence, and we always focus on that one bad thing. And as much as we try to outweigh, there's always that one thing. And to ask ourselves, well, even if that was true, what else might have been going on? So that one person said that your piece of writing wasn't very good. Well, maybe that piece of writing, but also what was happening? So this is the first time I've written a PhD. Surely it couldn't be perfect the first time. So it's okay to recognize that it doesn't have to be perfect, but also to think about what evidence have you got that would almost balance that one negative thing. So, my first chapter came back with lots of red pen all over it, but this was the first time I'd written a literature review. So I wasn't expecting it to be perfect. And now I've got this real opportunity to improve.
But again, it's important to have that kind of balance with that kind of criticism, not basically catastrophize. I think I need to tell you a little bit more about negative thinking styles next time. But yes, people tend to catastrophize. That's the first reaction when they have that kind of feedback. I'm horrible. I can't do this writing. I can't do this chapter. And all the worst possible catastrophic scenarios are happening, like even worse than any kind of disaster movie. Your brain is basically developing those kind of scenarios of catastrophe. Oh no, I'm not going to be able to do this. Oh no, my supervisor hate me. Oh no, it's horrible feedback. But if you actually sit down a little bit and observe the problem from different angle, you'll find out that the feedback that you receive is actually more constructive. It can more help you to develop, and it can help you more to improve your writing, your skills, your PhD research skills, whatever. It can definitely be helpful to basically help yourself to build yourself to more better foundation through that particular feedback. Again, it's all important to basically think about that kind of negative automatic thinking, like, I'm not good enough, or my supervisor hates me. Sometimes it's better if you step back and just observe that kind of situation from different angle. You can ask yourself, why do you think my supervisor hate me? Is there any particular reason for that? Is there any particular evidence against that? And just basically try to reflect on that kind of aspect. What happened? What can you do? Is there any evidence for? Is there any evidence against it? It's like that kind of trial process, because you're just dealing with the facts here. You should only take the facts, not the opinions, because opinions are biased, while facts are basically something that is concrete and something which is actually there, visible, it's evidence. While opinions are not, they are just often biased, they're often subjective, and often basically they are the product of the current emotions. So when you're actually looking at that kind of negative thinking, it's really important to take only the facts into account. So when you ask me about that kind of chapter one and the horrible feedback that you receive from your supervisor, just take into account the facts, not your opinions, not your emotions, and try to basically separate those from the rest.
Brilliant. So separating the fact from your opinion and other people's opinion as well, in my opinion. So that can be really helpful.